Good afternoon. We'll call this meeting of the Job Growth and Energy Affordability Policy and Finance Committee to order. First order of business is Representative Scott will move approval of the minutes dated January 28th. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Well, members, today is Tourism Day, and so I want to thank our guests for hosting us here from Explore Minnesota, and they're going to run through a couple of items. The first thing we have here is we have John Edmond, the director of Explore Minnesota, who's going to give us a presentation. And welcome to the committee. And even though I just said your name for the tape, please do state your name for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is John Edmond, and I'm the director of Explore Minnesota Tourism. And first of all, I just want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and all of the members for coming here today and being part of our annual statewide tourism conference. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about some things going on from a state perspective as well as some of the issues that the various individuals behind me want to bring to your attention. I have a little PowerPoint today to kind of give you an overview of Explore Minnesota, talk a little bit about some of the industry trends, share with you some of the things that we've been doing with our new resources and some of the plans for the future. And I guess I just wanted to start out by reminding everyone about the face of tourism in Minnesota and how incredibly diverse it is. And as you'll find out from the people behind me, we're an industry that represents communities all throughout the state, small businesses, large businesses, and it does contribute to economic development in each of our communities in all parts of Minnesota. What we do is we try to generate jobs for travel for people in Minnesota. We employ youth and a diverse workforce, bring incremental spending to the state of Minnesota in terms of taxes, and support quality of life for Minnesota. And what we also find out is that, you know, when people travel to this state, they don't realize what we have. And they come here and they realize the opportunities and communities throughout the state. They think about not only living here, going to school here, and having a job here, and travel and tourism kind of unites all sectors. As an industry, we're about a $13 billion industry. 17% of all sales tax in Minnesota comes from the leisure and hospitality industry, and we're also an industry that's seen tremendous growth in the last 10 years. The sales tax from our industry grew about 54% compared to 29% for all industries, and we represent 250,000 jobs. That's 11% of all the private sector employment in the state of Minnesota. The jobs themselves are in every single county of the state. In some counties, travel, leisure, and hospitality jobs is a higher percentage than in other states, and so like in the metro area, the percentage is not as high. The dollars are great, but in counties, you know, way up, like in St. Louis County, et cetera, it's a real important part of economic vitality. And so it does impact people all throughout the state. When you look at expenditures in travel and tourism, all season long, people are spending money in our industry, whether it's leisure travel or business travel. But travel expenditures are the largest in the spring-summer season, followed by fall, winter, and, of course, the uncertainty of spring. We've seen growth in our industry. We've gone from an $8.7 billion industry in 2003 to $13 billion today. And we grew about 49% in the last 10 years. And it's worth noting that there is tremendous opportunities and growth in international travel as well. We generate about 270,000 international travelers. These are overseas travelers. This does not include people from Canada, which we almost don't consider overseas. We don't consider international in a way. They're kind of a domestic market. But these international travelers, they spend more, they stay longer, and we've seen a lot of direct airline service to Minnesota increasing, and that's creating opportunities for Minnesota to become a global player. For instance, a number of international flights increased 17%. In 2004 to Minnesota. So that creates a lot of opportunities for travel as well as for economic development. Now, our agency as a mission is we basically are charged to promote travel to and within the state of Minnesota, and we do this through a wide variety of different activities, advertising, public relations, websites, social media, international, and basically linking businesses to consumers. Our goals are to create inspiring advertising, developing partnerships. We have travel information centers, and we provide information online and phone, promote international group, as I mentioned, as well as try to lead the industry in travel and tourism in Minnesota. We're relatively small. We have about 60 full and part-time staff. We have offices in Brainerd, Thief River Falls, Mankato, St. Paul. We have 6 staffed travel information centers as well. And we're also, it's worth noting that we're guided by a Explore Minnesota Tourism Council. It's a 28-person council representing all aspects of our industry, from resorts to hotels to chambers. We also have 4 legislators on our council, 2 from the House and 2 from the Senate, that help provide advice and guidance for our efforts. Our budget. Our Explore Minnesota Tourism biennial budget is at $28 million. We also generate money through about $1 million a year through advertising revenue and sales. And we do a lot of partnerships with tourism organizations to maximize our reach. Our spending, basically, the bulk of our dollars, it says operating expenses and programs, that's pretty much the marketing, how we market Minnesota to our target markets. We do some grants, and about roughly a little less than a third is for staff. Now, when you look at our historical spending within Explore Minnesota Tourism, we did receive a fairly large increase the previous biennium. There's a lot of competition with other states, and we needed to ramp up our efforts in order to gain market share and compete with states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Missouri and Illinois, a lot of those states. I'm sure you've seen a lot of their advertising. But we have substantially grown somewhat over time, but still the competition is intense. And this slide here actually kind of shows a little bit about where we stand relative to other target other states. The purple line on the bottom, if you can read that slide, is Minnesota, and it shows it how we compare to some other states. Now, actually, I think missing from this slide is in the governor's budget. He proposed a continuation of our current budget at about $14 million a year with a small salary adjustment in order to continue the investment into travel and tourism that we've been able to achieve and to continue some of the things that you will see here now. So one of the things that I wanted to kind of go through with you, Mr. Chairman and members, is how we're positioning Minnesota today and why did we get to that certain types of positioning. And one of the first things we did is we tried to take a look at what is the perception of Minnesota in some of the markets that we want to reach, some of the places that we haven't been for. And this is just a sample of what some of the things that people said.
When I travel, I like to go to places that have a diverse range of things because I'm not the type of guy that likes to just sit on a beach.
Well, when we choose vacation spots, some of the things we like to do is to see what kind of attractions are there.
We'll go anywhere that looks interesting and safe and scenic and outdoorsy.
When I think of a vacation in Minnesota, I kind of imagine just a really cold, dreary climate and a bunch of people that sound like they came out of Fargo.
I've never been there, and all I've heard here is it's really cold there.
I think of cold and fishing.
It's up north, and you don't really hear a lot about it.
I can't say that I've really had any desire to go.
Well, that was a heck of an inspiring video. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, it may not be inspiring, but it's very informative, because I think what that told us is that we don't have a product problem. We have an awareness problem. People just don't know about all the opportunities for travel and tourism that Minnesota offers. So we came up with a new strategic plan that basically tried to focus on the unique and authentic and the things that you find only in Minnesota. When you think about this state and the destinations that we have, the attractions from Voyageurs National Park, the headwaters of the Mississippi River, Lake Superior, Lanesboro, and everything in between are things that other states would love to have, but we don't talk enough about it. So let's talk about those things that you only find in this state, share it with others, and we wanted to also put a pretty heavy emphasis on social media, because it's not as much about me telling consumers that these are great places to travel. It's about people talking to each other and discussing the attractions that are found only in Minnesota. So our current markets, our previous markets, have been Minnesota and the surrounding states. We really weren't able to do a whole lot in Chicago in the past. But with our new money, we were able to expand substantially into Missouri and Colorado and parts of the western U.S. and Canada. We're able to do television in some of these new markets, outdoor, which we haven't done before. I'll show you a couple samples of that, as well as digital in these particular markets. So it's a much larger footprint than we've ever had before. And we use a lot of different media, different touch points. We use television, of course, as a key part of it. But the interesting thing to me on this slide is the if you add the search and the digital, it's nearly 50% of our promotional dollars are used in digital marketing, which is substantially different than when I first became director. I wanted to share with you, if I could, Mr. Chairman and members, three spots. We have a wide variety of different advertising or television spots to promote Minnesota, promoting different regions of the state, different demographics in terms of some of the travelers, and we actually even use Minnesota musicians to help us with these spots. So I'd just like to show those to you now.
Take a trip. Find the trail. Look out. Call some friends. Hello. Come on, bring it in. Look at you. This is going to be good. Look at that. Meet your hero. See a bird. Nice leather. Nice wool. How'd they make that? Oh, that's how. Play with the puppets. Conquer your fear. Read to the chickens. Shake, break. Laugh. Run. Jump. Smile. Look up. And discover a world that's only in Minnesota.
All right, now that's better. That's the real Minnesota, right?
Here's another one.
Take a trip.
Northern.
Pass some water. Pass some trees. Wait, don't you dare pass that. Plot a course. Get out. Look around. No, really, look around. Take hold. Take a breath. Jump. Climb. Seek your fortune. Laugh. Pinch yourself, because this is happening. And it might not ever happen again. Well, not like this. Because this kind of trip happens only in Minnesota.
Third one with more of a metro focus.
Take a trip. Dress up. Go out. Get artsy. Get foodie. Get a royal welcome. Do some more. Sample some wine. Sample some cheese. Ooh, that looks good too. Better sample it. Hey, save some seats. Great seats. Good times. Mmm, good oysters. What's next? How about here? And here. And there. And cheers. Smile. It's modern. It's classic. It's totally you. And it's only in Minnesota.
So those are three of the spots we use for the spring, summer in terms of the television medium. We also did some what we call out of home. And the interesting thing about a lot of these is we use imagery that individuals just provided to us on Instagram and use that with permission to help sell Minnesota, to talk in the way that they were talking about the state. We did some takeovers of some train stations in Chicago to increase awareness. And this one is actually fun that we did in Denver to provide an out. It was a building wrap that we did, and the social media chatter about this one was huge when this one first went up, reminding people about Minnesota, giving them an idea that this is a place that maybe they want a vacation. We also did some work with the All-Star Game. There's a lot of high-profile events in Minnesota, whether it's the All-Star Game this last year, the Ryder Cup coming up, Super Bowl, Final Four, that gives us an opportunity to provide media attention that we wouldn't otherwise get for the state. From my perspective as a state tourism director, it's not as much about selling tickets to the event as it is using that opportunity to talk to the world about travel and tourism in Minnesota. We redid our website this last year to make it more inspiring, more content-driven, and also more easier to use in mobile devices, tablets, and the like, because this is where we're seeing our tremendous growth is people on these types of self-mobile phones, tablets, et cetera. This fall, we did a program called 10 Day Minnesotan, which was basically designed to use social media to get other individuals to travel to the state and to share their experiences through their followers as well as on our website. We received tremendous results of that in terms of people sharing information about Minnesota. Now, these last couple slides here, I want to just talk a little bit about how the summer was this last year. And we do annual surveys of the industry to find out, you know, how was tourism this last year. and we compare it from year to year. This particular survey showed six consecutive years of improvement with almost two-thirds of the respondents saying that occupancy was the same or up. Revenue was up substantially throughout the state of Minnesota. And the current financial health of travel and tourism in Minnesota is very good with, again, almost over two-thirds of the respondents saying that it's growing, stable, but positive. That's not to say that there aren't challenges in different pockets of the state, in different businesses, and probably you'll hear a little bit about some of that later. But overall, our industry is in good financial health. A lot has been done and made of social media. We've seen tremendous growth in social media, 41% this year, with the largest growth in interest. And one of the things we often do, we have a lot of numbers, a lot of metrics that I can share with you on how travel and tourism is doing and the website traffic and social media, but we use a third-party company to do a return on investment study every year to find out, are we getting dollars back, are we getting a value for the state investment in travel and tourism? And we looked at our current markets as well as our new markets to kind of assess, are we having an impact? Awareness of our advertising in our old markets is high, 65%, 38% in the new markets because we hadn't been there before. But combined, over 56% of the respondents were aware of our advertising. But this slide here kind of shows where the rubber meets the road. This shows what did we actually get as a result of our advertising. It shows, in terms of incremental spending, almost $320 million was generated in spending from travel as a result of our advertising, and $29 million in new taxes. And without going into too much detail on how they do this, but they basically survey people and say, did you see any Explore Minnesota advertising? And then, yes, if they did you actually take a trip as a result of that? And if you took a trip, how much did you spend on that trip, and how much was that generated? They also use a company called Oxford Economics to determine the economic impact. And from that, then they compare it to what we invested in advertising, and this basically shows what we get in terms of our return on investment. But beyond that, the image of state tourism advertising is improving. These numbers represent sort of the difference between those that are unaware and aware of Minnesota tourism advertising. And under different categories in the image of the state, and probably the one that jumps out most at me is this last item that shows it's a place I'd really enjoy visiting. We're really starting to make an impact. We're getting Minnesota in people's mindset. And if they haven't taken a trip already, the return on investment slide that I showed you indicates how much they actually did spend. But there is a longer-term impact in terms of what Longwood's refers to as intenders. So 1.9 million intenders, people intending to take a trip. So if we continue the efforts, we continue the outreach, we think that those will translate into dollars. Now, wrapping up, winter's a long season. We're doing a number of different types of rich media, digital media, to promote Minnesota. And we also did a couple television spots that I want to show you for you right now.
Take a trip. Find some friends. Find a seat. Find your power animal. Hey, girl, head back. Get a lift. Take a drop. Wait, set up. You betcha. This is awesome. So is this, and this, and that. And are you kidding me? Nope. Kick off your shoes, or buy some new ones. Have a beer. Catch a show. Start a fight. And make everyone wish they were only in Minnesota. Take a trip. Take a day. Take a week. Take whatever you need. Hit the powder. Hit the pool. Nice. Do this. Do that. Do the other thing. And then do a recap. All right, get back out there. Skate the lakes. Warm up. Down a s'more. See that thing. And those guys. And just, wow. Have the winter you always wanted. Only in Minnesota.
So moving forward, where we want to go in the future, we want to continue the momentum, continue to increase awareness of Minnesota tourism in our existing as well as our new markets, to generate revenue and jobs for Minnesota. We want to increase our market penetration to talk about the diversity all throughout the state of Minnesota. We also want to increase our PR strategies to do more through earned media and national and to get national and regional awareness of Minnesota. And we also want to make sure we continue to grow that opportunity in international travel and tourism, which we see as a tremendous opportunity for this for this state. And through all of it, we want to make sure, as you can see, trying to promote all parts of the state of Minnesota. So, Mr. Chairman, that pretty much kind of gives a quick summary, maybe not too quick, summary of, you know, what we've been doing lately, what we are trying to accomplish with our new resources, and how we want to continue the momentum to grow travel and tourism in Minnesota. And, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Sure, we have time. We have time for a couple of questions if my mic's on. Am I on? Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a kind of quick question. That first number you came out with, I think it was $13 billion. Just in general, is that strictly recreational travel that you're tracking, or is that in general all travel? So that would include business travel that's coming to the state, or kind of a combination of the two, or just kind of trying to dig down in the numbers a bit. Thanks.
Director?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that figure comes from the Department of Revenue. It's specifically tracking sales in the leisure and hospitality industry, and that includes, yes, some business travel as well as some leisure travel as well. We don't go to a third-party vendor in order to calculate specifically to strip out that business travel, but then by the same token, leisure and hospitality doesn't include things like shopping, so there's a lot of things that's missing. So we found that that $13 billion is not a figure that's calculated. It is an actual figure, and it's a pretty good indication of how our industry is going.
Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Edmund, quick question for you. How much significance does the Mall of America play as an international magnet for international tourists?
Director?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it's huge internationally. We've seen such a tremendous opportunity in international markets, particularly Asia, whether it's Japan, China, and the like, and Mexico as an example. People love to come here to shop. And it's something that's well known. The folks at Mall of America have done a tremendous job in the international marketplace, making sure that that is on the map. Now, not every international market is always interested in shopping. Germans are interested in outdoors, Scandinavians and Scandinavian heritage. But in terms of a top attraction for international travel in Minnesota, Mall of America is unquestionably at the top.
Representative Scott.
Sides, and I'm trying to see if I know you have some numbers and so forth. I'm trying to see if you have what your estimates or your goals were for 2014 as they compared to what the actual results were. So do you know if you have that data somewhere?
Director Edmund.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that is not actually specifically in our PowerPoint. Going into new markets, we wanted to actually just be on the radar, you know, to make sure that Minnesota is resonating as a place that, you know, that we can increase awareness. We did the return on investment study the previous year where we had the 8-to-1 return on investment. We were kind of shooting for that. But keeping in mind with some new markets, it'd be hard to hit that that particular number. There's a lot of, I think I was talking earlier, there's a lot of different numbers that you can look at in terms of measuring travel and tourism. Leisure and hospitality is the broad one, the broad goal, and our industry has a goal of trying to achieve a $20 billion industry by the year 2020. And so that's kind of our vision or aspiration, but beyond that, we have a lot of other specific goals in terms of website traffic, social media traffic, and things like that.
Mr. St. Paul, Representative Mahoney. That is what they call you here, right, Mr. St. Paul?
No, they've called me many things, but not that yet. thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Engelman. You seem to have done a lot more advertising in this last year, your 2 years. So the last biennium, I do realize that there was a significant increase in your budget. What was the increase in the last biennium versus the biennium before? Do you have that number?
Director Edmund.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative, we received about a 67% increase in our budget the last biennium, the current one that we're in, which was the largest increase that we've ever received in Explore Minnesota history. And I think the reason that that happened is because our budget had fallen to about 31 in a ranking compared to the other states. We were being outspent by our major competitors, Wisconsin, South Dakota, as I love to say. Even the Wisconsin Dells spent more money than we did on tourism and marketing. So we needed to ramp up our efforts because we've had flat, if not declining, budgets for the last 10 years. So our budget is getting back to the way it was. The thing to keep in mind that other states' budgets are still growing because they have different funding mechanisms than we do. And so that's why it's important, I think, that we maintain our current budget level as proposed by the governor.
Representative Mahoney.
So what is your current ranking now? 30, if you were at 31, are you at 30 now?
Director Edman.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't have those numbers. I can get them exactly for you, but I think we're like in 20, we're about in the middle, 22.
Thank you.
Representative Swazinski, we're going to go to Representative O'Neill because we go everyone first time before you get a second.
Sounds good. Example.
Representative O'Neill.
You know, looking through those images, so this is the second time I see the presentation, so all those images are kind of spinning through my head, but there's a few that are missing. You had mentioned Itasca State Park, and I didn't see an image of the headwaters. I didn't see an image of, you know, the plaque that's there that says this is the headwaters of Mississippi. I didn't see Paul Bunyan Bay from Bemidji. I didn't see the Walker Arts Center, Spoon and Cherry. There's a lot of things that are iconic to Minnesota that I didn't see. Was there a strategy behind having them in or not having them in, kind of like the really iconic things from Minnesota?
Well, before we go to Director Edmund, you should know that ever since the Minshew fiasco, I think Paul Bunyan has boycotted all endorsements, so that might be something to do with it. I don't know about that. So, Director Edmund.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, no, we did not boycott Paul Bunyan. You know, when we came up with this strategy of only in Minnesota, what we did is we took a look at a map of the state of Minnesota and wanted to make sure that we were fairly representing all parts of the state. As you see there, we've done three spring-summer spots, some winter spots, and some fall spots, and we're constantly evolving that. Actually, if you look at the spring-summer spot that's coming up next year, you will see Paul Bunyan in one of our spots. So we're always looking to change, and that's one of the beauties about what I do is that you have so many things to choose from. You can't get them all in on each particular TV spot. Keep in mind the TV spots that I showed you is a little about a third of our overall advertising. We do a lot through social media and through digital and things like that, and so you'll see some of those images in other ways. But in television, there's just only a limited amount of time we can get in so much of the state.
Representative Swazinski, you get the last question, and then we're going to move on to the Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry for double dipping on the questions here. Just kind of wanted a follow up. You mentioned kind of Wisconsin Dells and how much they spend, and that kind of just triggered. Do you track how much? So you take what potentially the Mall of America would spend on international marketing. You take some of those large spenders and then combine that with the state. Do we track kind of total spending? So if we, you know, from a private and a public standpoint, when it comes to advertisements and some of that and how we kind of engage those things together and work together. Is there any of that kind of a data set that's out there that kind of looks at those, you know, where, you know, it's not all being shouldered by the taxpayers, but the private industry is doing this to kind of benefit themselves in a way too, but, you know, how that works together and how other states do that.
Director?
So, thanks.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative, you know, if it comes to local convention bureaus, some of that information is tracked through, you know, the local option lodging tax, and those dollars are used for state tourism or for local tourism promotion efforts. We don't necessarily track that specifically, and certainly we're not able to track the private sector, the private businesses in terms of what they spend. But we do, as sort of a matter of course, try to do as many partnerships as we can between the state and public and private organizations. And last year, we were able to generate about $8 million in terms of partnerships with the private sector. So we're always looking at ways that we can leverage resources and work together.
Thank you. Thank you again for the presentation. We greatly appreciate it. So Representative Fabian, if you want to head up there. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's nice to be here. Just a couple of things as we are going through the slides and so forth. First of all, I want to thank Minnesota Tourism for the one slide that says hop on a sled. We make Arctic Cats and Polaris in my home district, so come on up and do that. Another thing that stood out to me was I think it was a gentleman from Denver was talking about Minnesota being cold and dreary, you know, not all that, but that's kind of the best time of the year because we can go ice fishing, we can go snowmobiling, and there's a lot of hockey games going on up in northwestern Minnesota as well. And he also said something about Fargo. Well, I did come out of Fargo, so I'm okay with that. So
now we understand.
And for those of you that were betting on the Super Bowl, how about those Patriots, huh?
I knew that would get Mr. Chair to...
With that, the author concludes this presentation.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members and everybody that's associated with the tourism industry. I'm excited to be here. Obviously, tourism is very, very important. I talked about a few of the things that are relative to my part of the state. We have a tremendous amount of outdoor activities going on up there. And some people do choose to stay inside, even if it is 30 below zero, but a lot of us get out and enjoy that. You know, it's interesting to me how tourism has changed in, I was going to say since I was a kid 30 years ago, but I would be lying. I can remember in 1969 loading up our car. We lived in Alexandria, and literally we drove about 8 or 9 miles and spent 5 days camping out in a tent. Now, my mother, God rest her soul, was the most courageous and loving mother in the world to be able to find the strength to lay on the ground and camp with her family during those summer days. It's just amazing how it's evolved from that. And, oh, by the way, that's where I was the night that the astronauts landed on the moon. We were watching on some sort of a little 12-volt TV. I didn't even know that they existed in 1969. But we, you know, from where we came from in 1969 to where we are today and the things that people are looking for with regards to tourism has changed a great deal. And people are looking for more and more and more things to do. So, you know, we have to take a look at how we're spending our money, the dollars that we have appropriated. And as was pointed out earlier, tourism is a very, very large and significant industry in the state of Minnesota. There was a couple of other slides on there that pointed out even in Marshall County and Kitson County, two districts that I represent, significant impact by tourism. We have a lot of people that come down to the golf course, for example, in Roseau, or the campground in Hallock, or the campground and the Lake of the Woods in the Warroad area, things going on in Thief River Falls with regards to camping and the casino. Lots and lots of Manitobans come down and visit our part of the state. So tourism is a very important part of our local economies. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would be open for questions and comments from the other presenters.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. Welcome to the committee. Gentlemen, please state your names for the record.
My name is Doug Killian. I'm the Senior Director of International Tourism for Mall of America. And, you know, we don't like to just start by thanking you for your time today. Thank you to Representative Fabian for authorizing the bill, Representative Gunther and Mahoney for co-authorizing the bill. And I've been in the Minnesota tourism industry for 33 years. I spent my first 19 years with Northwest Airlines and public relations, including 4 years over in Japan representing Northwest in the Asian region. And I've been the tourism director at Mall of America for 13 years. And it's just been a pleasure to work in this industry. And I continue to be amazed, frankly, by the importance of tourism as an industry in the United States and throughout the world. And I can tell you without a doubt, the Minnesota Office of Tourism is a terrific agency, and I worked with them for many years. They have John Edmond is a fantastic leader, and his team is highly dedicated, so shout out to them. The Minnesota Tourism Coalition, Growth Coalition, came out of a number of us when we were serving on the Governor's Tourism Council, continued to see our state budget shrink. And for those of us who work in the trenches every day, it was very discouraging. And I think we've all seen in the Twin Cities alone the number of advertisements over, especially over the last 6 years, of Montana, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, bombarding us with advertising in print and television, because they know that Minnesotans love to travel. This is the very, our economy is strong. And we, as John pointed out, our tourism budget continued to shrink. It went from 25th in the country, dropped to the 33rd level, and we finally said, as a group of tourism officials, we've got to do something about this. We know what a strong return on investment the tourism industry is, and so we developed the Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition 2 years ago. Sarah Pisick is our fantastic lobbyist. I think a lot of you know she's articulated our message exceptionally well, and thank you for you and your all your colleagues for giving Explore Minnesota Tourism a nice increase 2 years ago. John, I think, really articulated how we're measuring that return on investment. It's been very strong. It's generating new jobs. It's generating more tax revenue. And we do have an ambitious goal of becoming a $20 billion industry in 5 years, and we think we can do that. You know, we $13 billion industry right now. We really need to – we've made some strides in some of the new markets that we wanted to go into. Chicago is a very strong market, believe it or not, for Minnesota. You might say, well, why would you drive from Chicago, which has great retail, to Mall of America and other parts of the state? There's a sales tax of 10% on clothing in Chicago. And the fact that we have no sales tax on clothing or shoes in Minnesota is a fantastic promotional message that the state has. And at Mall of America alone, for every dollar that a visitor, as defined as someone who lives outside of the 150-mile radius, for every dollar he or she spends at Mall of America, they spend on average at least $3 more in the Minnesota economy on theaters, museums, car rental, lodging, professional sports, snowmobiling. So you can see how, and again, that no sales tax on clothing is just, we're one of only four states that offers that, so that gives us a great competitive tool. Talk a little bit about just the, you know, how we've started to make some progress. The last, what John articulated, the new markets we've gone into, it's great. But if we don't continue that type of investment in marketing, we're going to slip back. And we're just finally now starting to become on the radar of a lot of travel agents, tour operators in the traveling public in the United States and an overseas market. You know, we have a fantastic airport, Minneapolis-St. Paul, incredible international service, nonstop daily service from Tokyo, which connects from points all over Asia. In the summer, 3 daily flights from Amsterdam to Minneapolis, 2 daily flights from Paris to here. Iceland Air just announced they're expanding service from Europe to here this summer. Condor Airlines last year, the German airline, started service and are coming back. But sadly, about over 90% of the people coming into our airport on those flights connect to other parts of the United States. We want them to stop here, see what a fantastic economy and tourist destination Minnesota is. We can't do that without marketing dollars. It's just not possible. So that having there are cities in this country that would die to have the kind of service we have, and it's a tremendous asset. But we need to have more marketing budget in order to talk to tour operators and travel agents. And it's a long-term business. You know, I travel with Explore Minnesota Tourism and our other partners. We meet with tour operators and travel media and tell them what a great state it is. And they said, yeah, okay, I get it. But then if we don't go back there the next year and the year after, it's out of sight, out of mind. Because New York, Vegas, Florida, Wyoming, they're going there and they're hitting it hard and they're combining it with advertising and other marketing resources that we're just starting to be able to use because of the increased budget. 5 years ago, the U.S. Congress developed the U.S. They passed the U.S. Travel Promotion Act. Senator Klobuchar was a huge proponent. It gave us an international Tourist Board, for the first time since 1993, there are many countries around the world, much smaller than the United States, that have a much bigger. We didn't have any international budget, but now that this U.S. Travel Promotion Act was passed, it created an entity called Brand USA, which is a fantastic organization that helped promote tourism to the United States. John Edmond was just appointed to the board for Brand USA, which is a fantastic accomplishment. There's only a handful of state tourism officials around the country who are on that board. But the only way that the Brand USA exists for every dollar or so that a tourism entity like the Minnesota Office of Tourism spends, that'll unlock a dollar from the Treasury Department. And if we're not investing, there's no return. And Explore Minnesota Tourism provides the platform for Mall of America, for the Minneapolis CVB, Bloomington, St. Paul, Duluth CVB, Austin, St. Cloud, entities across the state to really become a player in the international market. Without Brand USA, there's no way we could do that, and without Explore Minnesota Tourism support. And the Travel Promotion Act was just reauthorized for another 5 years. So it gives us this opportunity to really expand our marketing presence. Huge opportunity. Just a couple final things here. The Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition is, a lot of us are here today. We're energized. We're excited. We're excited for the economic return that tourism can make to the state. We're obviously employed by our own organizations to do a good job to bring people to our entities, but in the larger picture, we want the visitors to come to the state. And I think sometimes there's a notion that, well, Mall America, of course you benefit, 42 million people annually visitors, but what about Thief River Falls? And we're hearing stories of Terry he was the head of the CBB in Duluth. His wife was a marketing director at Spirit Mountain. I've talked to people that, yeah, we had Chinese visitors skiing there last weekend. And the other thing with shopping, I think with the comment, how many people come to Mall America, why do they go there? Shopping is the number one reason people shop for leisure worldwide. It may not be our personal passion, but number one. And the fact that we do have great shopping in Minnesota, plus all the other things we offer here, professional sports, museums, theaters, fabulous outdoor recreational activities around the calendar. But that shopping, gives us an entry into the real international market and domestic as well. And again, the no sales tax on clothing. So it's a very exciting opportunity to increase our tourism budget. Again, a lot of us travel with Explore Minnesota Tourism. They are a fantastic agency. They use the money extremely efficiently and effectively. So we're just really excited about this opportunity. We know we can do a lot more with increased funding. So we appreciate your consideration, and we're excited about the future.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you very much, Chairman Garofalo, committee members. My name is Terry Matson. I'm the president and CEO of Visit St. Paul and the River Center Authority. So on behalf of our campus, thank you very much for the opportunity today and joining us here at the River Center. It's a very unique circumstance, and we're just delighted that you're here. I'm also the co-chair of the Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition, along with Doug Killian. And I want to thank you, the legislature, the governor, for the support in the last biennium. It was very, very critical for our industry and a huge step forward. I think it's really important as we proceed thoughtfully into the future that we recognize one important element, and that's that tourism, that our industry is fueled by promotion. That's really what makes us tick. We've never had the product problem that was pointed out earlier, but there has been an awareness problem. And the additional funding has got us into the ballgame throughout the U.S. and certainly internationally as well. Another important thing to mention is that there's so much more opportunity for growth. We can do even better. So when we move forward, I know that you have an incredibly difficult job that you do very, very well, balancing the needs, the wants, the dreams of so many different sectors, of so many different initiatives, constituencies. It's a tough, tough job. And the message that I would bring forth for you today is, as we look for ways to make all these funding needs a reality and to enhance our infrastructure and work on roads and bridges, and all of that takes resources. But when we look at long-term thinking, we really want to look at ways that we can make the pie bigger. And we know those opportunities are there in travel and tourism. We're so far away from funding these initiatives to the level of our competitors, and the competition is fierce. The reason these other states are investing in travel and tourism is because it's paying huge return on investment. You have all the facts and figures, the 8-to-1 return on tax dollars, but we're so far away from saturation that the increase in the next biennium will help us make that pie bigger. Doug had mentioned that in a previous life I spent 25 years in a similar position leading the travel marketing effort in Duluth. So I know how important the efforts of Explore Minnesota Tourism are in Duluth. Being in St. Paul, I know how important the efforts of Explore Minnesota Tourism are to the metro and to St. Paul. And the beauty of all of this, and what makes it work so well for all of Minnesota, that whether you're in the prairies of southern Minnesota, in the streets of St. Paul, the North Shore, Lake Vermilion, Bemidji, Thief River Falls, it has a direct return to all of us across the state. And I think that message will ring loud and clear as we hear from some of the other folks in the room today. So I won't go into a lot of detail with the facts and figures. I'll just praise you on the job that you've done. Thank you for everything in the past. Your role is so difficult, just assimilating all the blood and guts and barbecue sauce and everything that takes to make it work. But at the end of the day, an investment in travel and tourism, an investment in Explore Minnesota, is going to pay huge dividends and make the tax coffers grow, not only for state government, but for local government, for business and industry. This industry employs about 250,000 people throughout Minnesota. The total economic impact direct spending is on par with agriculture. So from corner to corner, from river to valley to Lake Superior and beyond, this is a great investment. And happy to answer any questions that you have. I think a lot of it's been touched on already, but thank you for your support.
Thank you. And before we go to member questions, Representative Fabian, did you want to run through House File 434, the appropriation language, or do you want me to go to House staff for that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, if House staff wants to go through it, but it's pretty simple. You've got the bill in front of you, actually. It's House File 434. It's asking for an appropriation in fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 17, both years of $18,988,000.
Thank you. Questions for members of the committee?
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Representative Fabian first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of things. Just some personal experience. My sons all play hockey in Roseau, which shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody. But I spent probably 5 or 6 years trying to organize the Roseau Lions Bantam Hockey Tournament. And trying to get 7 teams lined up to come to Roseau, for me, was a monumental task. And it was difficult to do. Some of our tournaments got to be 4-team tournaments, and it was not good for hockey, and it wasn't good for the city. Now through our Roseau Youth Hockey Board and a couple of people, they've taken this task on, and now we have waiting lists for teams to come to Roseau to participate in 16-team tournaments in the little small town of Roseau. We're housing people. You know, these guys are good. They both mentioned Thief River Falls in their presentation, which, you know, the chief author of the bill likes that.
What a coincidence, yeah. Representative Fabian.
You know, but the thing is with regards to these tournaments, both boys and girls, through all age categories and youth hockey, the spillover is all the way down to Thief River Falls, which is 65 miles away. They're going there to lodge. They're lodging in War Road. They schedule games so that they play one on either Friday or Saturday morning, and then with one of the local resorts, they take the kids, the team, the coaches, and the moms and dads that want to go, and go sit in an ice fishing house for the afternoon. So I know Representative Smith has been up there. He can testify to all the good things that are going on. My point is it just requires that that promotion. And one other thing, you know, just along the lines of hockey, I happened to come to the Wild game here when they were playing Toronto. I was absolutely amazed at how many people there were on the street after the game, either heading across the street to the hotel on West 7th or up here on Wabasha to stay overnight in the hotel, and they're from Toronto coming to watch the game. So there's a lot of stuff that's involved in promotion. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And staff handed me the notes on the actual dollars, but I'm not that good at math. So maybe someone can tell me what the $38 million that is in this bill, what kind of a increase that is from this biennium here. I'm going to guess it's a 30% increase, but that would just be me and math. So I got two questions, one for the Mall of America, and then one, well, maybe I don't know if someone else can do this, but I'm told there's another mall being built that is in excess of size of the Mall of America. I can't remember where it is. Is it on the East Coast? And is that, how do you expect that to affect your plans? And then what connection between the tourism budget, and I suspect this is for someone else, and conventions? Minneapolis gets a ton of conventions. They always want more, and I'm fine with that. Don't want to pick on Minneapolis. St. Paul gets a good number of them. But we've got convention centers in St. Cloud, Mankato, Rochester. I'm sure I'm going to miss one or two. How does the tourism budget and the convention bureaus work together to market? I don't think there's a convention center at the Mall of America. I can't imagine.
Not yet.
Something else.
Well, before we do that, let's go to Ms. Hendricks. I think we know the answer to the what the baseline appropriation is, but I think it's just good behavior for the committee to defer to nonpartisan staff on those items. So, Ms. Hendricks, can you tell us what the base appropriation is right now for the upcoming biennium?
Mr. Chair, members, just as a little background, in fiscal year 12-13, the appropriation level was about $17 million. Then that was increased in fiscal year 14-15 to about $28 million. The proposal would increase that again to $38 million for fiscal year 16 and 17. That's about a 36% increase.
Thank you. And then to the gentleman from the Mall of America, with regards to the secret East Coast Mall.
Yeah, thanks for the question and the interest. When Mall of America opened in 1982, it was the largest shopping and entertainment center in the world. Since then, it is now about the eighth largest. And, you know, size, it's nice to say we're the biggest. We're still the largest in the United States in terms of size. The West Edmonton Mall, which is owned by the Gramazians, our owners, is physically larger than Mall of America, but they attract 24 million visitors annually. We attract 42 million visitors annually. Our owners are also developing what will be called American Dream in the Meadowlands across from the New York Giants and Jets football stadium. Long story there. But I think an interesting point is the Gramazians, when Governor Perpich a long time ago had the vision for Mall of America, and a lot of people, me included, I used to work for Northwest Airlines, to say, wow, it's exciting that they're building this place, but it's going to be like one of the roller coasters in the amusement park. After a couple of years of going up and up and up, when the novelty wears off, it's going to plummet like a roller coaster, and it's going to be a huge embarrassment. The mall, you know, we have, it's a very competitive business like we're all in, but you know, we have revenues of $1.1 billion. We work with all of our partners throughout the state, especially, of course, McFarland, Minnesota Tourism. But our owners believe in tourism. We're one of the few shopping centers that has its own dedicated tourism marketing staff. Half of our revenue, so half of $1.1 billion, comes from the tourist market, people who come in from outside of the 150-mile radius. So they look very carefully at what our tourism department is doing, investing with the state of Minnesota, the Office of Tourism, with our partners. So they are very aware of that. But with our growth plans, you know, we're adding some additional components this year, a hotel, a JW Marriott hotel, which will be largely, you know, for the tourist market, some high-end retail, and we're planning to expand way beyond that. And almost all of it is focused on the tourist market. I mean, it'll be great for the local market as well, but that's, again, our owners saying, yeah, we believe in Minnesota tourism. We like what's happening in terms of investment and strategy, and, you know, we want to continue that momentum with them.
Mr. Edmund or Mr. Mattson, do you want to address the issue of the link between the connection between tourism and conventions?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, I think I can handle that question. Nothing happens until we sell it, whether it's meetings and conventions or the leisure travel or package travel market. We'd all be very, very hungry if we sat by waiting for the phone to ring. So there's different strategies to address and a different set of collateral materials, everything, strategies from top to bottom between leisure travel and the meetings and convention side of things. I will give high praise in many areas, but specifically in this case on Explore Minnesota Tourism and a new initiative that's been around the past few years to enhance more collaboration within the meetings and convention industry in Minnesota. Meet in Minnesota is a collaborative effort funded by the local CVBs, by the destination marketing organizations, in partnership and cooperation with Explore Minnesota Tourism. And it's just a small fraction of that overall EMT budget, and I'll elaborate a little bit more about the benefits of leisure travel. But honestly, there is so much meetings and convention business out there. It's finding the right fit. There's a certain element of cooperation amongst all of us, whether it's Minneapolis and St. Paul or throughout the state. But we've clearly found in Minnesota, as in most of the other states that are good at this, there is benefit in providing a unified effort of Meet in Minnesota and breaking things down to which clients, which meeting planners, which groups and conventions fit best into different parts of the state. So we're continuing to grow and enhance those efforts. It's a good thing. The lion's share of Explore Minnesota tourism work is in the leisure travel and package travel markets, and it's outside of the state of Minnesota. That is bringing new visitors with new dollars, expanding that market throughout the U.S. and internationally that benefits Minnesota from corner to corner. And I think that's most of the push and the drive that you'll hear from other folks around the state. There's about 100 other entities represented in the Minnesota Tourism Growth Coalition, similar to what myself and Visit St. Paul and the River Center are doing. That's 100 different entities throughout the state that are helping with this effort and carrying the torch to say, we all benefit from this. If we do more, we all do better. So I hope that answers some of the questions.
Mr. Killian and Mr. Mattson, we appreciate your testimony. We do have, I know members have a couple questions, but we do have quite a lengthy list of presentations that we want to have beyond yours. So thank you very much for your testimony. Representative Fabian, any closing comments on your bill before we move on?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to present here today, and I look forward to continuing the discussion as we move forward. I'm sure that you have an idea of what you'd like to do with the bill, and I'll wait for further direction and look forward.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. Ms. Pisick, I think the next one, do you want to call up people, or do you have a certain order that you want to follow? Welcome to the committee. Please state your names for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Cindy Winarka, Executive Director of the Leech Lake Area Chamber of Commerce, and I am also President of the Minnesota Heartland Tourism Association. Leech Lake has a long history of being a tourism destination. Along with being the third largest lake in Minnesota, add the quaint community of Walker, and how can a visitor go wrong? The Leech Lake area offers year-round lodging, events, and activities. We have well over 200 businesses just that are chamber members, and 38 of those are resorts and other lodging accommodations. When people ask what industry we have, the question is simple. It's tourism. Our number one attraction has been, and it continues to be, the lake. People love to come and spend time on the water, whether it's the water or whether it's the ice. Keeping our lakes healthy and clean is one of our priorities. Whether you want to catch a walleye in June or come up in February and catch an eel pout, it's important to protect our lakes. Every summer, our population increases to many times what we have in our small community. Our local businesses add seasonal staff. We hire high school students, college students. We also depend on our senior citizens to fill in the many open positions that are out there. One of our challenges that we face is finding enough people to fill all those open positions in our resorts and in our businesses. Aside from the lake, a lot of people believe that our second greatest feature is our trails. Walker is now a hub of over 150 miles of paved multi-use trails. Whether you like to bike, hike, ski, snowmobile, ATV, or ride a horse, we have the trails for you. The trails in our area are near completion, but we look ahead to the years and need to have the funding to keep all those trails in good condition so they'll be there for many years to come for our children and grandchildren to enjoy. During the winter, when we have snow, the trails are groomed, our resorts are full, we have waiting lines at the doors of our restaurants, and you can't park on Main Street. And that's just how we like things in the Leech Lake area. Sometimes tourists just can't stay away. They decide to become locals. We have one couple who recently retired to the Leech Lake area, and they opened a bed and breakfast. They had visited Walker, fell in love with the area. Now, not only do they bring new businesses to their business, or new people to their business, but they also support the businesses in town. They buy their groceries local, all of their supplies locally. They hire a young woman who lives in town to develop their website. And when they get to get away a few days for themselves, they have someone who can step in and take their place for a few days, allowing them to take a breath and come back refreshed and want to greet their visitors again. This bed and breakfast is located right on the shores of Leech Lake, and if you go out their front door, you're on the Heartland Trail. So they have great opportunity to offer their visitors lots of different potential experiences. As any industry, tourism is constantly evolving. Some of the changes we've seen in the past few years is that an increased number of our visitors want to be active. They want to be out on the trails, they want to be out on the lake. But when they arrive, they want high quality maps. They want them to show up on their mobile devices. They want to be able to print them and have them in their pocket before they head out for the day. They also expect to have internet access no matter where they're staying. We try to keep up with the fast changes, the different ways of communication, and help to get those last minute pieces of information into their hands. Our staff continually attends classes and conferences, many of them sponsored by the Explore Minnesota Tourism and the University of Minnesota Extension. Without their help to offer the low-class education and the high-quality education, it would be impossible for us to keep up. As I mentioned, an additional role to being at the Chamber, I'm also president of the Minnesota Heartland Tourism Association. This includes 33 counties in the northwest and central part of Minnesota. We work together with Explore Minnesota to share resources, to reach markets that we could not address on our own. Our marketing plan for 2015 includes fishing, motorcycle tourism, biking, and golfing. Again, it's with the help of Explore Minnesota Tourism that we're able to offer these low-cost advertising co-op advertising packages to our members. In our own Leech Lake area, we depend on being a part of this larger association in order to make our advertising dollars stretch much further than they otherwise could. Over the past few years, many of our members have relied on the Heartland Tourism Association to bring several communities together. We have worked on some multi-community promotions, and we look forward to continuing to see these relationships grow and become stronger. We appreciate your support of the tourism in Minnesota. Minnesota tourism is not just another industry. It's an industry that holds our hearts, and it's held the hearts of many Minnesotans for many generations. We'd like to thank you for your continued support, and please remember that we are available as a resource whenever you have tourism questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Winarka. And your name, please, for the record, if we move along.
Hi, my name is Christy Riley, and I represent the 36 counties of Southern Minnesota tourism, including Rochester, Mankato, Worthington, Lanesboro, Fairmont, and many, many other small communities in the southern region. Most importantly, I'm also here from Southwest Minnesota. I'm from a county of less than 8,500 residents with only 162 jobs in tourism. However, we bring in about $7.1 million in gross sales each year. One of the little diamonds of our region is located in a small community of Curry, which only has 200 total residents. They have a beautiful little railroad museum, which brings in about 7,000 tourists in a four-month summer season. So that small little community of 200 swells each summer. Also, the Pipestone National Monument is located in Southwest Minnesota and is one of only two national monuments in the entire state, and they draw between 60 and 80,000 visitors per year. The surveys have told us that the visitors come from all 50 states plus 40 foreign countries, and that's just huge for such small rural communities and proves that tourism does work. People sometimes think that Southwest Minnesota only has hunting to offer, but we are so much more than that. We have wineries, breweries, we have dinner theaters, and quaint festivals that enrich our history just like the city centers. Many of the small communities have tiny budgets to work with, and advertising is very expensive. Sometimes the only way that we can afford to advertise is through the co-opportunities and joint marketing plans that Explore Minnesota Tourism helps to generate. In addition, we have a fantastic network of travel information centers that are great about informing the visitors and communities and activities of our area. Explore Minnesota Tourism helps small communities. Not only do they generate opportunities to network with other communities, they do what they can to make tourism work through the entire state. The work that Explore Minnesota does not only enhance the work of the regions, but it benefits the entire state. And a lot of times it is that extra lifeline that small communities like mine need to survive. I appreciate all that you do and all that Explore Minnesota does for us, and thank you for the opportunity of speaking today.
Thank you very much, Ms. Riley, for being here today. Mr. Shaw, and then we'll take any questions if there are for this group of panels, and then we'll invite our others up. So please record your name for the record, please.
My name is Gene Shaw. I'm with Visit Duluth and also president of the Minnesota Arrowhead Association, which, for those of you who don't know, that's that little section of Minnesota that sticks out into Lake Superior. There's eight counties up there. A tourism experience is composed of many different elements, and it's greater than the sum of its parts. Tourism is also a marketing-driven enterprise. The ability of all tourism destination marketing organizations, big and small, throughout the state is to partner and collaborate with Explore Minnesota Tourism. And that gives us the opportunity to do many things we otherwise could not do. Partnership grants, cooperative marketing programs, and representation overseas, our ability to be represented in a highly competitive tourism market is greater than the sum of its parts. We truly appreciate that collaboration and partnerships. The Northeast region, through Minnesota Arrowhead Association, has been in partnership with Explore Minnesota Tourism to strongly promote motorcycle tourism in Northeast Minnesota. The Minnesota Arrowhead Association efforts arose out of collaboration of the statewide motorcycle tourism promotion by Explore Minnesota Tourism and a multi-state and international cooperative effort called Ride Lake Superior. In addition to involvement support from Wisconsin, Visit Duluth partnered with Thunder Bay Tourism to promote the one-of-a-kind ride around Lake Superior. Interactive website and a map of lakes is partnerships to helps us ride around the lake. It also helps attract a number of small communities on the North Shore to be a part of this from our state, and one of those being the Split Rock Lighthouse Historical Site. Visit Duluth and Thunder Bay Tourism attended two motorcycle shows in 2014 in Minneapolis and Chicago, and will be doing so again in the next 2 weeks. The Iron Range Tourism Bureau and Visit Grand Rapids have partnered to exhibit at the International Motorcycle Show in Minneapolis and promote the entire region. It's not easily quantifiable, but tourism officials throughout Northeast Minnesota report seeing more and more motorcycle tourists. And in 2015, Harley-Davidson has joined on our effort. And we've put out this small map that fits into a writer's pocket as they write around the region. This year, Visit Duluth has decided to invest additional resources towards promoting Duluth tourism at cycling and walking fairs in the Netherlands and Belgium. It's a effort to educate and inform the European market that Duluth is the perfect destination for their next adventure abroad. It's an effort that will help set the stage to increase tourism from those countries. The role of the Duluth Experience, which is a company that's about 3 years old, the owner, one of the co-owners, left Duluth and Minnesota in 2005, moved to Arizona, and moved back and started this company. And they are doing history tours, brewery tours, and now they're going to be doing biking or walking and hiking. We call it biking and whatever. It's different in Europe. Matter of fact, Mr. Mason is in Belgium right now, and he'll be in the Netherlands next week attending these shows. And he's reported back that there's a lot of interest in Duluth and the experiences in Minnesota, and even some of them know who Bob Dylan is and where he's from. Right, Jason? Okay. Duluth's story is compelling and exciting, and we're ready to share that story with the rest of the world. Visit Duluth also partners with Explore Minnesota with marketing through Brand USA in its publications in the UK, Germany, China, Japan, Mexico, and we do look at Canada as a foreign market. Duluth has the potential to be America's outdoor adventure city thanks to more than 10,000 acres of green space and 300 eventual miles of trails. All this takes place in West Duluth. If you come over the hill on Interstate 35 into Duluth, lots of times you look to your left, you look to the lake, you look to the bridge, you look to that scenery out there. Sometimes just take a little look to your right, and that's what we call the Western River Corridor. Visit Duluth, or West Duluth, it's going to be our next destination for visitors coming to Minnesota, or Duluth, I should say. Duluth's west side has the most unbroken green space in the city with rich, diverse forests and rocky outcrops. It has the biggest hills in the city above the St. Louis River. In addition to the hills, the tight valleys, and the remote woodlands, the west side of Duluth also has the St. Louis River. The river has a significant history from the fur trade to building of ships in World War I. The river all adds to Duluth's recreational opportunities like boating, fishing, paddling, and birdwatching. Spirit Mountain is a major component of West Duluth, being an outdoor recreation paradise. In the summer, it is home to the only lift-served gravity mountain bike park in the Midwest.
Thank you to each of our testifiers. We greatly appreciate you coming in and sharing a little bit about your individual communities with us. And I assume you'll be available after the completion of today's committee for further questions. Thank you very much. Next, I believe it is, Sarah, do you want to go ahead and announce them? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Steve Markison. I currently chair the Metro Region Group of Convention and Visitors Bureaus, as well as represent Twin Cities Gateway, which serves 9 North Metro communities. And I'm going to touch on a lot of different things today based on 40 years in this industry. And since this is the Economic Development and Jobs Committee, I want to spend a little time on some of those things. As you've heard from my colleagues and other industry representatives, tourism in Minnesota is no longer just going to the lake and the cabin up north. It clearly has a statewide impact. The metro area, in fact, generates 60% of all sales tax revenues generated by the travel and tourism industry. Why is this important? It helps you fund all the statewide programs and spending needs that the state has. But having said that, even though the Metro is a key generator, you know, the one big thing we heard in the run-up to this year's election was a gap between rural and Metro. Tourism is one of the industries that really helps to fill that gap and to make it even. How many industries generate $35 million a day, impact all 87 counties, and employ 250,000 people? Not many. Tourism does. One thing that most people don't realize is that everybody thinks when somebody comes to town or goes to one of our destinations throughout the state that the only ones that benefit are the lodging industry. 21% of that visitor's dollar is spent on lodging, which means 79% is spent on Main Street and restaurants, on entertainment, on recreation, going to the golf course, going to the theater, going to a museum. Think of what that does for the tax base in those communities, particularly in rural Minnesota, the number of jobs that it creates, and on and on and on it goes. You know, the travel and tourism industry is about jobs, jobs, jobs. Sometimes a bad rap is they're all entry-level, minimum wage jobs. Well, guess what? A lot of times it's the first job, and you can't get a second job or a better job or another job until you've had your first job. The other thing it does is it keeps kids and families in our communities. If I'm in Lanesboro, because of the travel and tourism industry, I don't have to go to Rochester to look for a job. Or if I'm in Thief River Falls, I don't have to go to Grand Forks or come to the cities. In some cases, it provides a second income for somebody who's in that community, and that enables that family to stay there so they don't have to go to another place. The other thing that travel and tourism industry jobs are, they're often flexible. So that means a kid can work on their education and continue to have a job and keep them there, or a family can provide the child care for their children and remain within the community. Highest unemployment in Minnesota is among youth and diverse cultures. The travel and tourism industry, probably more than any other industry, employs youth and people of diverse cultures. Now, the other thing is it provides great career opportunities. Many of the people in this room probably started as hourly employees in one of the travel and tourism industries. I started New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve of 1973, I started as a dishwasher, as a minimum wage hourly employee at a ski area. By the end of the year, I was part of the management team of that restaurant facility, and since then I have gone on to become a manager, a supervisor, a director, director of tourism for the state of Minnesota prior to John, and now a president and CEO of my own business. So the career opportunities are tremendous. I'm going to run pretty quickly through. The biggest thing about this, though, okay, you got the jobs, 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 pretty important stuff, but economic development follows tourism. When I was working in the Brainerd Lakes area, one of the local car dealers built one of the biggest auto dealers I've ever seen in my life. I asked him, I said, how in the heck can you build an auto dealer for the 15,000 people that live in this community? He said, I didn't build this auto dealer for the 15,000 people that live in this community. I built it for the 150,000 people that are here every weekend, year-round, because of the tourism industry. So that's something we don't think about. Those are the indirect benefits. It's no coincidence that they're building new hotels at Mall of America, or that Charles Skinner, who's going to speak behind us, is making a significant investment in expansion in the Lutzen ski area on the North Shore, or that they're developing real estate in the Lakes area, or somebody's opening a restaurant near a trail in southeastern Minnesota. It's not a coincidence. It's because the visitors are there. And we heard it earlier, but I want to reiterate that people come to our destinations, they like them, they come back. Guess what? They might buy a business. They might buy a second home. But no one ever buys a home in a community buys a business in a community or starts a business in a community without visiting there first. Economic development follows tourism. Throughout the state, you could know my family's got a summer cabin or in the Detroit Lakes area. There are dozens and dozens of businesses in that community that are open year-round to the people that, and serve the people that live there, but they wouldn't be there were it not for the visitors. Think of the jobs, think of the tax base. Investment in tourism creates an immediate return on investment. It shouldn't be a question of if, it should be a question of how much. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Sunny Bakhtu. I'm here to represent all the lodging facility. I'm from the Lodging Association, and our members strongly increasing current funding level for Explore Minnesota so we can continue to generate revenue for our state. The work that EMT is doing to market Minnesota is important to our 850 hotel owners and operators in our state. We have about 75,000 rooms in hotel motels and inns located in every corner of the state. We collectively employ more than 30,000 people. That is just in hotels. The entire leisure and hospitality sector has over 250,000 employees. Minnesota hotels are an important part of $13 billion hospitality industry in Minnesota. Even with the increase in funding in 2013, our budget is significantly smaller than that of our closest competitors, such as Illinois, Missouri, Wisconsin, Michigan. We need to compete to continue the success we had in the last few years. This is not an issue of spending, but increasing revenue to Minnesota. Tourism funding generates revenue initial to supporting many of our state's educational and social service programs. Our 17% of state tax dollars are generated by leisure and hospitality industry. Virtually, we sell is taxable, except a occasional T-shirts. The MLA is part of broad coalition supporting competitive funding for Explore Minnesota Tourism. A successful and vibrant tourism industry is an important part of a tourism brand. The first impression many visitors and potential visitors get in our state is marketing information and material done by EMT. Our brand is important and requires a continuing investment. Tourism is an economic development tool. Oftentimes, business owners who vacation here ultimately choose to locate their business here in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Sarah Stoddard. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for taking the time to hear about the importance of Explore Minnesota Tourism for us in Minnesota, specifically in greater Minnesota. I had the privilege of growing up on a lake in the heart of central Minnesota lakes country. Lake life and tourism is alive and well there now, as much as it was in June of 1969, as previously mentioned. I now have the extreme privilege of being the executive director of Explore Alexandria Tourism, as well as I sit as the chair of the statewide association MACVB, which is the Minnesota Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus. One thing I hear whenever I'm out representing Alexandria is always about a memory that they had, a cabin, their grandpa's cabin, some lake that they went to fish at, and they caught a big fish, or memories such as yours as sitting out in a tent, or being at a retreat, a conference at Arrowwood. We make memories in Alexandria. That's what tourism does. In Douglas County, where Alexandria is located, there are 2,200 people employed in tourism. This may seem small to you, but to us, it's a huge impact. 2,200 people support my family and the families of a big county in Minnesota, central Minnesota. Our lodging tax collection is up 29% since 2009. You can see we're on a rise. In Alexandria, our job is to continue to make memories for all of those Minnesota travelers. With the help of Explore Minnesota Tourism, we can see a prosperous and positive future indeed. Thank you.
Thank you very much to each of our testifiers. And before you go, I think Representative Gunther had a quick question or comment before. In the meantime, if we could have Tom Kavanaugh, Mark Novotny, and Charles Skinner kind of get in the on-deck circle and be ready to go. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve, it's good to see you again. I just want to reiterate what I've heard over and over, that tourism doesn't cost the state money. It contributes to the state, and it contributes to the welfare of everyone in the state. So this is one thing that we do absolutely get a significant return on our investment, and I'm glad you all are investing.
Well put, Representative Gunther. Thank you. Hello, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, representatives. My name is Tom Kavanaugh. I'm a co-owner of Kavanaugh Sylvan Lake Resort. I'm also a board member of the Minnesota Resort and Campground Association. I work off of a prepared script because I'm Irish, and 3 minutes to speak usually means I'm giving a toast. If it'll help. First off, thanks again for allowing us to share with you the importance of tourism and its value, not just to each of us that have showed up here, but to the entire state's economy. I own a mid-sized resort, along with three brothers, right in the heart of the beautiful Brainerd Lakes area. All four of us have done this, actually, since 1969, when my parents bought a small nine-cabin resort on Sylvan Lake. In the last 46 years of operation, we've grown into a 50-unit year-round property. I can tell you that the resort business is really tough, but I can tell you that the current state increase in the tourism budget has been an incredible new jumpstart to promoting Minnesota tourism, again, not just for our area, but to the state as a whole. I've been in the resort business literally my entire life, and I can tell you that when we promote our great state, especially outside of our borders, we can show people the amazing product that we have to offer. But if we don't show them, and if we can't spend the necessary resources to show them, it'll make it hard for us to compete with those states that do, and there are a lot. So what success with the budget increase can I show or look at? Well, at Kavanaugh's, we actually already showed about a 28% increase this past summer in out-of-state vacationers. So I looked ahead to 2015, and I can already show 18 more reservations from Iowa, 24 more from Illinois, 8 more from Nebraska, and 6 more from Wisconsin than all of 2014. So another really significant increase. If I asked our guests, and this year I think I'm going to make more of a point of doing that, what drew you to Minnesota? I'm pretty sure that EMT's marketing efforts had quite a bit to do with it. So I'm just a simple business owner. However, I am smart enough to know that if we put the dollars into our tourism budget and we allow Explore Minnesota Tourism, the resources necessary to promote this amazing state outside of our borders, it will build our tourism industry from its already current $13 billion in revenue. Representatives, if Minnesota spends the money on Minnesota tourism, it will make money on Minnesota tourism, as Representative Gunther said. I don't need to tell all of you, but this would equate to even more than the current $850 million in tax revenue. Put even more than the 250,000 currently employed in tourism to work. And it would increase business development in tourism throughout the state. Now, if I'm not mistaken, those are all things that make you guys look good. I implore you to consider the importance of tourism in Minnesota. Support House File 434 and increase Explore Minnesota's tourism budget in the next biennium. The continued increased support of our state tourism budget will benefit all of us, and the state will be rewarded. There are few things in government that can generate revenue and jobs. Tourism happens to be one of them. So I finish, as Kevin Costner said, and I know this was in Iowa, but build it and they'll come. But I think we should say promote it and they'll come. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Mark Novotny. Thank you for the time this afternoon. I don't have a script like these guys because I found out Friday that I'm coming here. So I own and operate Hideaway Bay Resort near Hackensack, Minnesota. I have 16 cabins on a lake, like many resorts in Minnesota do. One thing that you've heard is all the statistics of where Explore Minnesota Tourism has gone. One thing you don't know is that in 2008, our biennium budget was $28 million. That's what you raised it to last year. So this increase is what we're asking for, is to compensate or include the inflation, so we can continue to catch up with many of these other states that are outspending us. Just for an example, last year, and this is my own business, last year I had an increase in 12.5% in my business, which is phenomenal. And I asked last fall, I belong to Congress of Minnesota Resorts, and at their fall conference, I asked many of the resort owners there if they saw an increase. All of them but one had an increase last year. So I contributed a lot of that to the Explore Minnesota Tourism and the efforts that they've done in making the tourism awareness that we have out in the outstate areas. Last Friday, I actually took a reservation out of Missouri. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Charles Skinner. I am the board chair of the Minnesota Ski Areas Association and also a co-owner of Lutzen Mountain Ski Area. In the interest of time, and since I'm the last person, I will try to condense my comments and just focus on the most important points. But thank you for hearing us today. You should have handouts on the Ski Area Association, and on the front of the handout, you could see there are 21 alpine ski areas. And I just want to recognize we have about half the ski areas managers or owners from around the state that are here present today, and I would just ask that they stand up and show themselves.
They all sat together, too.
They did. Thank you. I first want to start by emphasizing the importance of our partnership with Explore Minnesota Tourism. John Edmond and his crew do a fantastic job, and we certainly really agree with everybody else that's been here that the amount of money that's invested by the state of Minnesota should be increased and should be increased substantially. Also wanted to highlight the economic benefit study that we did 2 years ago. That should also be in your packet, or at least the executive summary. The ski industry in Minnesota is about a $400 million economic contributor to the economy. And it's a lot of it's in rural areas where it counterbalances the summer dominated tourism component, and really balances out the economy and makes year-round tourism possible. $400 million is a big number. It's almost half a billion, and a large portion of the $13 billion that's been talked about here. I want to make 2 points about that. First of all, only about 6% of Minnesota residents skied in 2013-14. In a northern area that has lots of snow for many months of the year, we think that number could be much higher. The second of all, of one-third of the Minnesotans that did ski 2 years ago did not ski at all in Minnesota, but instead skied elsewhere. So we think between those two factors that there's enormous growth potential for skiing in Minnesota. In closing, I think we'd just like to say We would like you to support Explore Minnesota Tourism. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. A couple of quick questions. Number one, I know previously there have been some regulatory issues that were impacting skiing facilities in Minnesota with regards to liability. Has that been straightened out yet, or are we still doing some work on that?
Minnesota is one of the only states in the nation with any significant numbers of ski areas that does not have a Ski Safety Act, which provides guidelines for how litigation proceeds through our courts. We are still working on that, and we hope that that will be passed this year.
I agree. And then just another question for the three. Every year there's an annual debate about the issue of Labor Day school start and about school starting before then, and we have to educate people come in. No, I can't. Well, we got a captive audience here. You know, some people will say that there's just really no difference to your business, whether school starts before Labor Day or not. Do either of the testifiers want to address that point?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that particular issue has been a hot topic for a long time. And as far as impacting tourism, it would definitely impact my business. I would lose about 15% of my business. And that doesn't include boat rentals, sweatshirts, T-shirts, all of that that I can get rid of at the end of the season. It would be a huge impact. We are already fighting Iowa and Nebraska and all the other states, which start in the middle of August. And if the state of Minnesota goes along with that as well, I would definitely see a huge impact.
Mr. Cavanaugh, do you want to add anything before we go to member questions?
Well, I get the honor of testifying tomorrow morning on Labor Day. School start to another committee. So,
what a strange coincidence.
Isn't that odd? You know, it is a really, really serious issue, and it's important to us. And, you know, we're dealing with something that's been ingrained in Minnesota for about 100 years, the traditional, summer. And, because of that, literally billions of dollars of business built around tourism, whether it be, resorts, hotels, golf courses, any of those things have been built based on a very, very short summer season. Our ski hill doesn't do so well. I don't have any snow on the ground right now, so winter has been non-existent. Labor Day is our baby, or summer is our baby, and to lose a week before Labor Day would be really serious. So another one that I'll use the word implore you to make sure that doesn't happen.
I agree completely. Thank you. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, I want to welcome everybody here, too. As a hospitality owner myself, I'm a small business owner. I have a restaurant in Wilmer, a Green Lake Cruise Line business on Green Lake in Kanawha County, and a small hotel, and I'm proud to be a member of the Minnesota Hospitality Association. And this is more of a question, I think, for Director Edmond, and I may want to have him come back for a quick follow-up. As the marketing arm of our great state, to talk about what the tourism impact is and all the money that we're spending as this investment into our businesses. Do you as an agency also look and listen to operators like me and like those out there that are, what is the state doing to not only help promote what we're doing with our financial support, but what is the state doing to get in the way of allowing small operators, medium-sized operators, so they can continue to invest faster, better, so that we have a better product to market down the road? Is Minnesota doing a lot of things to get in the way, either from standpoints of permitting, labor issues? Does the Explore Minnesota share with their counterparts and other agencies what we can do to allow faster development in private growth and private sector investments? So what does your department have much to do or say about that, Director Edmond, or others that could answer that? I'm curious about that, because I'd like to see if we're engaged in that conversation as well to help promote faster growth and more stuff that we can sell for Minnesotans.
Director Edmond, did you want to address that issue?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. For the committee. I hope this is the last time I do this. But Mr. Chairman, Representative, I guess the best way for me to answer that question is we're advised by an Explore Minnesota Tourism Council. We have a public thank you very much. We have a public policy committee. When issues come up of that nature in terms of whether it's regulatory or whether it's environmental issues or Labor Day school start, education issues, we vet that in the industry and make sure that there's some kind of a consensus on the part of our industry to take a position on those types of things, and then oftentimes we will pass a resolution and then use that resolution, like in the case of Labor Day school start, and make sure that that gets articulated to the appropriate authorities, et cetera. So that's the venue by which we vet those types of issues.
Okay, and Mr.
Representative Baker.
And again, when those positions are known, the Labor Day start, permitting, minimum wage, do you pass those back on to the legislators as well then to let us know through that channel what those issues are?
Director Edman.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, we do pass those on. We often testify in support of whatever that position may be, and then that's also the value of having legislators on the council, too, so that they can hear the issues, the differing perspectives from a statewide perspective, and then bring that back to their colleagues.
Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question, actually, for Mr. Skinner, I believe. I'm looking at the wonderful skiing locations around Minnesota, and as a big fan of skiing, not a very effective skier, but one that enjoys going downhills fast anyways. I'm just curious, how often or how much do you guys use snow machines at your facilities?
Snow machines are essential.
Oh, they are essential.
And it's what helps weatherproof us for the most part. We can, you know, have reliable snow as long as it's cold enough, and it's almost always cold enough some of the time to make the snow base that we need. But some of the ski areas are operating almost, you know, 4 to 5 months.
That's wonderful. I thank you, Mr. Chair. I remember hearing in the last 6 months from some folks that thought that snow machines in Minnesota were ridiculous, and it's good to hear that people understand why they're so important for skiing in Minnesota.
Well, they're essential, you know, really pretty much across the country. Pretty much every ski area relies on snow machines to one degree or another.
That was my thought, Mr. Chair. I assume that anybody who knew anything about skiing would know how important they were when you're advocating for a good tourism dollar in Minnesota. Thank you.
I always thought a snow machine was a snowmobile. That's what I call a snow machine. So.
Any other questions from members of the committee?
I see none. First of all, I want to thank Sarah Pisick for helping suggest this idea and getting members outside of the Capitol. As you know, the Capitol is all tore up and ripped up, and it's always better when we can bring the Capitol to the people instead of people coming to us. So thank you very much, Sarah, for helping organize this. And also thank you again to all the excellent testimony as well as the staff being available today. We greatly appreciate it. And with that, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.